You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Jay Horowitz here, special edition of Amazing Conversation with my old friend Kevin Mitchell. Kevin, next year is going to be a great day for two of your teammates, our friends, retiring Doc's number 16 and Darryl's number 18. Give me your fondest memories of those teammates from the 86 championship team.
Jay, the best I can put it is just awesome and great teammates, man. And it was an honor as I was coming up as a young kid to play with that type of talent of two guys and two guys that was very close, you know, and was able to bring me into their little clique with them to enjoy the things that they was doing on the field.
What was it like, Kevin, when Dwight pitched? People might not remember the K corner and the excitement of the Shea. Shea used to rock when Doc pitched. How was it like to play behind him?
It wasn't fun because you didn't get no action.
He struck out everybody, right?
He struck out everybody. You know, it was just he didn't even need no defense out there the way when he pitched. When he was on, we didn't get no action at all out there playing.
Did you ever get bored?
We did get bored. We got bored. I felt that I got bored a lot, especially when Doc was pitching, because it was no fun.
How about some of Darryl's home runs and, you know, his magical swing and the whole bit? What was it like, you know, playing next to him in the outfield?
It was beautiful, man. And I still think he got the beautiful swing I ever seen in the game. I mean, they talk about Griffey's swing, but, you know, Straw's swing was effortless. You know, and you never know he was, you know, a lot of people swing at the ball hard, but this guy was just so, he was sweet as duck butter, you know.
Duck butter. Do you have some of that? No. Kevin, you told me a story the other last time we spoke about how, you know, Darryl's an ordained minister now, travels around the country speaking about the evils of drugs. You tell me a story. Do you listen to his sermons now when you can?
I try to all the time. I was, matter of fact, right before you call, I was listening to Tracy.
Yeah.
His wife.
It's really remarkable how he's really turned his life around, for lack of a better word. You know, I mean, he's done good.
Jay, you know, as people, as men, we go through a bunch of stuff, but it's how you're going to come out. And he came out on top, you know, and I tell you what, I am proud of him. And like I said, as much as I can, I listen to him every time he's on his Facebook talking about the man upstairs, you know, and he's in a better place. He's in a great place.
You know, and you know, Doc is doing kind of the same stuff. He's going to high schools and you know, in New Jersey, and his message is, don't do as I did, you know? I mean, and, you know, they're both fighting about, you know, I get questioned all the time. Don't you think those two guys should have been in the Hall of Fame? But in a way, what you're doing now is kind of more important in the Hall of Fame, don't you think?
I think so. Jay, you know what? What they're doing now is what legends do. You know, people want to hear your story and how you fought back and how you accomplished of what's going on now, you know? And even looking in their faces now is there's a whole different person there. That, you know, they're not evil.
I agree.
Yeah, there's a whole different person there. And you see their demeanor, and you could see the way they came out of what they was going through a long time ago.
Kevin, you alluded to it briefly before. In 86, you were 24 years old, I think. You spent most of 85, all of 85 in Tidewater. And in 84, just a couple of games at the Mets. Why do you think the veteran guys like Keith and Gary and Mookie and Darryl took you under their wing? Because you were part of the inner circle. It's tough to do with a veteran team, a star-studded team like that. They made you feel belong.
Well, you know, like I said, Jay, people read people very well. And they knew I wanted to come to New York and like it's, they welcome me into their arms, and I was thankful for that. I tell you, I learned a lot playing with the New York Mets, just the players on the team, you know, like Keith, Darryl, you know, Gary Carter, all those guys taught me a lot about preparing myself for the game.
But other than that, you were part of the thing, you know, away from the field. They made you part of their inner circle, which is really hard for a guy with maybe 7 or 8 at bats in the major leagues to come in and really. And we had a star-studded team, you know, with Darling and Sid and Wally and everything. So, you know, I know Gary gave you one of the greatest nicknames ever, World B. Mitch. Because 6 positions that year. For me, Kevin, you were always one of the unsung heroes of that team. You played everything except pitcher, catcher, and second base, and you moved along wherever Davey wanted you.
Jay, I was just, like I said, I was thankful. You know, I think Davey Johnson had a lot to do with that, and I try to thank him as much as I can. I just talked to him the other day, and yeah. I still thank him for even putting me on that team that year, you know, giving me that chance to play with guys like Doc and Straw and Gary Nemp. So I tell you, it was new positions for me, but playing around guys like that I played with gave me the confidence to go out there and play the positions like they're supposed to be played.
You never really had much time at shortstop, right? I guess he would stick you in his starting shortstop and center field, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah. They had a lot of confidence in you. And I love that nickname, World B. Mitch. That was did you ever go to Davey and ask him to play all 9 positions? You never did that.
I never did that. I don't think I wanted to catch, Jay. I tell you that. After catching Doug Sis in the bullpen that one day, and he threw that heavy ball, there's no way in the world I was going to be a I caught when I was a little kid, when I was in little lead and, you know, senior lead and stuff like that. And I don't think those guys had too much good stuff.
Kevin, first of all, how is your health now? Your health is good?
I mean, I'm good, Jay. I'm good.
You had some back problems for a while?
Well, it was the neck. I had surgery on both sides. I'm fused on both sides.
Right.
So I've had the same thing Hojo had.
Right. And despite that, you know, we had Daryl had his golf tournament to raise money for his ministries and, you know, all the way from California, 14 to 15 guys who wanted to be there for him, right? I mean, I know it wasn't easy in getting in a plane, but you did it just to be there with the guys and for him.
Oh, no doubt. You know, he was calling and I was coming. You know, if it was for a good cause, like what he was doing for his foundation, I mean, that's a great cause, you know, for his recovery program.
Yeah, so, I know he did. Both Daryl and Doc, those do good work, you know. I mean, when you were playing with them, Kevin, did you think their numbers would be retired at one point? I mean, it was
Of course. And I'm happy for it. I got an invite, you know, to come. I don't know what I'm doing when that happens. So hopefully I can make it out there and see it happen. Because I think it's a great honor for all of us to go out there as players.
Yeah, it really honors the 86 team. Well, yeah. I mean, Kevin, looking back, so it's 14, 37 years ago, right? 23. What made that team special? You know, I mean, in your mind, different personalities, different kinds of people, you know, and what made it special in your mind?
Of course, different personalities. It was that. And we blended together, man, as a family. That's why I tell Doc Nim and Straw, we was a family, you know. And that's why, Jay, I don't understand how I look at people that players that we play with that's writing books. That's pretty much, you know, dogging each other, you know.
I hear you.
I don't get down like that. And I tell Straw and them, I said, that's not the right way to, you know. We was in the trenches together. We was like family, you know, and we don't dog family.
Speaking of trenches, you know, it's different time in the game. Of the 86 Mets got hit as much as some current day players, we either had 97 fights on the field. It just every time something comes up, I say, what would Mitch have done? What would Storr have done? I remember Bill Robinson getting into a fight. It's just a different kind of, different kind of atmosphere, right? I mean, stuff like that. I mean, the rest of the National League hated us, to be honest with you, right? I mean, we got into so many fights and we were arrogant. But the thing is, we won on 108 games.
I tell people, Jay, all the time, man, we wasn't, we wanted to win no matter how we once we stepped between the white line, we had that, we had a different focus. You know, if we had to win some type of way, if it was throwing, going from the shoulders or swinging that bat or pitching, you know, we wanted to win and we did.
One of my favorite highlights, I saw the film the other day, a July game in 86 in Cincinnati. Eric Davis slid in to Ray at third base and all hell broke loose. And I remember you were the first guy out there, Mitch.
Well, you know what, man? If when I got traded a lot, it's nothing personal. But once I put on that uniform, whoever teams I'm with that team. I'm loyal. So I got to get out there and help my teammates. It's nothing personal. You know, if you get hit, you get hit. You know, it's nothing personal. You know, I got a different uniform on. So,
and speaking to a lot of the guys through the years, you see, one of the biggest mistakes that we as an organization made was traded Kevin Mitchell after the 86 season. I mean, I hear from the guys you brought a closeness, a family atmosphere to the team. It really wasn't the same after you left. I mean, was that hurtful to you when you got traded after that year?
I did. It did because during the World Series, I was talking to Wally Backman. He was like, Mitch, you're not going nowhere. And that year I went home after the World Series. I had the media at my house and I was traded. And it was just the way I was traded. It hurt for a little bit, but you know, I'm the type of man that I get over stuff real quick and I got to move. You know, you got to keep moving, Jay. You know, it's just, you know, it's business. You know, I had to learn that it's a business, so.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazon of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
Okay, can we dispel one rumor? It's been 3 years. Game six of 86 World Series. Wally makes it out. Keith makes it out. Gary gets a hit. The story goes that you were on your way to go home and leaving the ballpark, which I know is not true. Yeah. Just want to talk on that for a second.
Yes. I mean, it was all good when we was younger, when they was talking about it. But that time, they said I was inside making my flight to go home. Right. And you know good and well, Jay, as a rookie, we don't make our flights. You guys
next question.
Do. Yes. Come on.
You go to traveling, you know, secretary makes the flights.
Yeah. Yeah. The team makes the flights. So, you know, that wasn't right. So, but just to get it cleared up, you know, it wasn't true. There's no way I was going home. And the rumor still sticks with me, Jay, you know, but it's all good though.
Yeah. You know? Well, the thing is, you know, Gary got to hit, but if you don't get a hit right after Gary, there's no Mookie Wilson heroics. So how much pressure did you feel, Kevin, coming up? So we have a guy in first, two outs, bottom of the 10th, we're losing by two runs. Jay, what did you feel when you came to bat?
You know, I don't feel pressure, bro. You know where I came from, Jay. So, you know, pressure is having a gun to your head. that playing baseball was fun to me, and it wasn't no pressure at all. You know,
but you get to hit, and you wind up going to third base. And he, I remember one time you told me when Ray was up, that Buddy Harrelson, a third base coach, told you to watch out for the wild pitch or the bull in the dirt.
Well, Stanley had came in for Schiraldi, remember?
Right.
And first thing, Buddy Harrelson came up to me, he said, "Mitch, this guy bounces a lot of balls. Be ready." And he ended up bouncing the ball. Buddy called it. Buddy Harrelson called it right there. And if he wouldn't have never said nothing to me, Jay, I wouldn't have never knew.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's not doing well. He's in a home in Long Island.
You know, my prayers, my condolences to his family.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only man to have two World Series rings. He's got a ring, 69 as a player and 86 as a coach. So after 86, you move on to San Diego, then San Francisco. Kevin, well, how do you explain? That's not the right word. 89, MVP, 291 batting average, 47 bombs, 125 RBIs. MVP, All Star, Silver Slugger. What caused the transformation, or was there a transformation?
Well, you know, Jay, we don't. As a young kid, we don't get worse; we get better. You know, y'all gave me that chance to move on, playing with good players like that I played with. I told myself I can be a better player, and when I got over to San Francisco, I was dealing with Willie Mays and Dusty Baker. When I got to San Diego, I was traded out of there within 2.5 months. But when I left out of San Diego, I was dealing with some of the best players I ever.
Yeah, Willie Mays is my idol. I was really happy last year we were able to retire his number and
yeah, you know, I was Willie, there.
Yeah, I was there. Yeah, he's a great man. You know,
I go and visit him sometime.
And how's he doing? How is he doing, Kevin?
He's doing good, man. You know, Willie's strong. He's still thick as a bull, still talking crazy.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing all right. He's
gonna helped you make the transition to.
Yes, he did. I gotta put my hands on Dusty Baker and Willie Mays. They helped me out so much. And Willie took me under his wing and just changed them bats in my hand. Went to a heavier bat instead of them light bats, and it changed my whole swing.
Yeah, Ken, what do you remember about the '89 series, the earthquake series?
Scary, you know. I mean, being a kid from California, it was just never been in nothing like that. Really, that bad. We always talk about earthquakes in California, but that was real scary. That was. Especially when you're fixing to play a game against the Oakland A's, and
you remember where you were when it got bad.
I was talking to Tony Phillips. May he rest in peace.
Yeah,
You know how we run the line before the game.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was out there talking to him, and I seen all the TVs blinking off in the stadium, and I didn't know what was going on. They was playing that song "We Will Rock You."
Yeah, they did.
It rocked. It definitely rocked, Jay. It definitely rocked. And I didn't know really what was going on until I got over to Willie Mays, and Willie said, "The bridge just failed. We just had an earthquake."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Kevin, you had a great career. I mean, 284 batting average, 234 home runs, 760 RBIs. You got to be proud of what you accomplished, huh?
No. I'm not, Jay.
Really?
I'm not.
Why do you say
I'm not. I wasn't satisfied. If I took care of myself better than what I did, I probably would have continued to keep playing. But I didn't.
And you wound up at Japan for a little bit, and Red Sox, and he went with the Reds too. You had a couple. Now you had one pretty good year with the Reds.
The strike year.
Yeah.
Strike year. Yeah, I was having a good season there. I was probably up for triple crowns there.
Kevin, I know you do. You still do work with kids in the area. I know you do.
Yes, I am, Jay. Now that I'm probably 98% healthy, besides getting the legs, you know, done. I'm going to Atlanta here next week to go have. It's called a procedure called a shock treatment.
And what will that do for you, Kevin?
It's supposed to trick the nerves in the calf. It's just my calf. That's all it is. My calf ended up getting atrophy from being paralyzed, from going into atrophy, for going into, you know, for being paralyzed from the neck down. So
yeah, that was what, a couple of years ago when you were struggling a little bit, huh? I mean,
yes.
But are you still doing the work with the kids in the area? The
I'm definitely am, man. And it's enjoyment for me. That's my passion, bro. That is my passion. I enjoy doing it. And if I can volunteer my time at any time when these kids need it, I'm there.
Kevin, how important was Davey to your career? You talked about it a little bit. I mean, were you disappointed in 84? You played 8 games. You didn't come up at all in 85. You spent the whole year in Tidewater. I mean, was that a little disappointment to you?
No, because I didn't understand, you know? I didn't understand it. You know, I didn't understand the way they do the process. So playing baseball, wherever I was at, I enjoyed it. So I didn't understand getting there as soon as, like I did, it didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I mean, Davey had all the confidence in the world. Yeah. Is there one favorite Darryl or Doc memory, Kevin, that, you know, any game or home run? Or, I mean, you know, Darryl had the home run against Houston in the playoffs in the World Series, and Doc, you know, with a strikeout game. Is there any one thing, you know, that sticks out in your mind, just generally – you're watching
I just
got to
say, every time they touched that field was exciting because you knew something dramatic, just beautiful was going to happen with those two guys. You know, I hated when Doc pitched and I was in the outfield or in the infield because you wasn't getting no balls.
Well, but, you know? And you played next to Darryl a couple of times in the outfield. Did you run him off sometimes or you let him take the balls?
Oh, no, I let Straw. He can – if he called me off, he's got it. You know, I mean, he's 6'6", 6'5", 6'6". And yes, I'm 5'11".
But, well, listen, Ken, you've been a good friend all these years, and I hope you can make it back for one of the things. You know, it would be good to see you again. And, you know, it's good. Listen, I was just a kid out of college in 86, and you guys really made me feel belong. You know, I've been here a long time. But the 86 team was really something special for me. I never knew what to expect when I went to the ballpark. One day, Mike Tyson could show up.
Yeah.
Another day, we could have a fight in Cincinnati. Another day, Bill Robinson. Hojo and Roger McDowell would give Bill Robinson a hot foot.
Yeah.
I mean, I never knew what the hell to expect.
I mean, that team there, man, that's how we gelled, man, because we played jokes on, you know, sawed off when we leave the air, like the one time we left San Diego, they had me dressed, they cut my suit up. I had to walk through the airport with some high heels on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Man, Jay, I had so much fun with that team. And if every team had that type of fun, I remember when they made me get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you know the horse in Chicago.
Yes, sir. Oh, I remember.
They made me go up there and play the scrotums.
Yes. Then one time, but we did it in the 90s. Jason Isringhausen, I think, got arrested when we played a joke on him.
Yeah.
I think something happened, went wrong, and he actually got arrested for doing something to the, it was just this big horse.
A big statue.
Big painting it, yeah.
Yeah, you know. The big horse statue that sits up like this. You got to climb up there and paint it the color of your teams.
One time Izzy got arrested. You don't remember about Chicago? Did you used to go to Ronda, Japan?
No.
That was Doc's favorite place. He used to order lobster appetizers.
That's the Chinese restaurant?
The Japanese restaurant, yeah.
Japanese restaurant by the Galleria.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Mitch, you're a good man. You're always there. It's a lot of good memories talking, and I hope stay healthy, get your legs fixed up.
I just got to tell you, you're lovely. And like I always said, man, you showed me such a great time when I was there.
It was a special bond. And you guys, as a PR guy, you let me be part of the thing. And, you know, it was something I'll never forget. You know, the way we did it and shocked the world coming back when we did. So a lot of good memories. Especially,
Jay, you're a part of our life, man.
Yeah, me too, Mitch. Me
too. Come on, man. You're a part of our life, man, and always will be till the wheels fall off.
Well, you know, don't let the walls fall for a while, man.
We're going to keep going to the casket drop.
I hope it's not that soon, Mitch. No. You know?